Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It's Tuesday. It's the 11th of February, and we are very glad to all be together. And again, thank you so much for such a beautiful, very short, fun drive yesterday. We had a full show yesterday morning, but if you missed it for some reason, here we are. We're back. If you blinked, you missed it. Here we are. And we thank you very, very much. Let me introduce everybody to you. We have to my immediate left, in more ways than one, communications consultant Libby Post.
Good morning, dude.
How are you?
I'm great.
Excellent to have you here.
Thank you.
The Empire Report's J.P. Miller. Hello, J.P.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Look, Rosemary Mayo is here, investigative journalist and adjunct professor at the State University of New York at Albany.
Oh, they're going to yell at you for
no,
that.
No, I know. You,
right.
Albany.
You, Albany.
You, Albany. My apologies. And by the way, they do yell at me.
Wow.
And we have Mike Spain, former Times Union Associate Editor. Hello, sir.
Good morning.
Was here yesterday, is back today. We like when people come 2 days in a row. It means they like us. That's good. And, of course, Alan Shartok, who not only ran a beautiful fun drive yesterday, but then went out and knocked him dead at the Mahawi in Great Barrington last night. A wonderful benefit. How did that go, sir?
It was great. Construct is a place you just can't say no to. It's a wonderful not-for-profit in our area, which builds housing for people who might not otherwise have a place to live. It's terrific place. One amusing story as I got there. I was exhausted, of course, and I leaned over to the microphone and I said, 1-800, and the place went wild. They all listened.
Place went wild, and we made $7,000 from
our music.
Really good. Well, wonderful. Good. It's good to be back to normal, though, isn't it? I mean, we're all...
It sure is.
We can focus on the horrible things happening
in other places.
In other places, right, exactly. So here we go. We welcome your letters. Please, just a couple things. It's been a while since I've read the rules to you, but please, please, please keep your letters short. Keep them to the point. Don't abbreviate. Have them make sense. And by the way, just read them over before you press send. Just, do they make sense to you? Because if they don't make sense to you, they're not going to make sense to us. And if they do make sense to you, they still may not make sense to us. But still, we'll give it a shot. Panel at WAMC.org. But every once in a while, if you realize, if you don't give the rules out, you see they creep up in size.
Absolutely.
You get like two lines, and then you get five lines, and then suddenly it's War and Peace. So
it's called letter creep.
Letter creep. Exactly, Alan. So we're trying to do away with that. Panel at WAMC.org. All right, let's get started and talk about what's going on. Of course, the big story is the New Hampshire primary. I was just sitting here prior to the program, and I was listening to the BBC, and man, did they make me mad, although they've been doing it all morning, so I guess it shouldn't make me mad. But the voting has started, but this, what was it, Dixon Notch,
yes,
or wherever
yeah.
it is?
Yeah.
Five people go to the polls.
Yeah.
They get five nudniks go to the polls, and suddenly that's the story.
You have now insulted the entire state of New Hampshire.
No, but he's exactly right.
I know
They'll say, oh, Bernie Sanders is expected to win. However, early voting indicates that Mike Bloomberg, who's not even on the ballot, is doing very well. Two people wrote his name in.
And by the way, they always do that.
No, I know. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Alfred E. Newman has won, for God's sakes. But still, it seems like an odd story.
It also tells us something about the press, doesn't it?
Well, that's exactly.
You know, that they're so hungry for anything that they'll make something out of nothing.
Five people.
I was just talking about that in a class on media ethics yesterday, that the press goes out of its way, mostly because we're bored, to find the unusual, mm-hmm. the weird, the odd. So if we go to a graduation, we're going to talk about the oldest graduate, the youngest, the person who suffered huge disability and hardship, rather than the person who's just like your niece who graduated, who did a really good job, to just celebrate the ordinary. And we do that with voting a lot.
So ethically, what are the problems with that?
Well, ethically, it calls attention from the real event, which is the ritual and the importance of it, and it makes the unusual be the story, which is not correct. And there's lots of problems with the ethics of campaign coverage, covering it as a horse race, which I actually am interested. I do think that is a component of coverage, but it's the easiest thing to do, so we do the most of it. How do you get the balance between personality of a candidate and the policies of a candidate?
Well,
we never gotten that right.
I think the 2016 election showed how skewed that ended up being.
Well, that's true, but I can remember in the 1990s, the Charlotte, North Carolina newspaper tried to advance this idea that they were going to go to the people first, to their readers and audience, and say, what are the issues you care about? And then they would go to the candidate and say, what are your responses to people's questions about this?
And yet
The people who, the candidates who did not give an answer were written off. They just were not written about at all. And Strom Thurmond was one of them. I'm sorry. You can't write off of Strom Thurmond. So how do you get that all balanced right?
And yet there's another side to this. I want to take a Rosemarian view because I love the way you take the counter. But one of the things that is fascinating to me is Bloomberg's emergence here.
I love it. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Everywhere I go, and I mean everywhere I go, people come up to me and say, what do you think is going to happen? I said, no, what do you think is going to happen? They all say, Bloomberg, 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 Bloomberg. Everybody's talking Bloomberg. So now you have this contest that is going on. The press is covering the contest as what did Sanders say about Biden? What did Biden mm-hmm. say about Sanders? This kind of thing. And then you have this outlier out here who people are talking about who's going to come in a big way soon.
Well, he's established himself through his $300 million media buy as the front runner.
Except Libby, Steyer has not been able
to do a thing. No, because Steyer doesn't have the gravitas or the experience. And people know who Mike Bloomberg is, that he's done all of this work around gun control and climate and food across the country.
He's won successfully three
right.
elections.
Right. He ran this New York City, which is just
won
as big
elections
of,
too.
Not the city of New York. And the fact of the matter is
But to Alan's point, though, can it be said that had we seen Bloomberg in the debates like we saw Tom Steyer in the debates, he wouldn't be doing as well as he is? We haven't seen him.
We don't know that yet. Number one, we don't know that yet. But number two, Tom Steyer's commercials pale in comparison to Bloomberg's. Bloomberg's are talking about the kitchen table issues that people are concerned about.
Oh, his presidential one, Be Presidential, is
masterful. It's great. I mean, they are terrific.
Well, and what he's done is bought himself a shot. He used a system, the corrupt system set up by Citizens United, and he has bought himself a shot. But the first time he gets out there against the rhetoric, he has to blow it away or it's all gone.
Oh, it's true.
He could fall really hard.
But, you know, that's why he's positioned himself now as, in a sense, the one to beat.
Now,
it's really interesting.
Am I right in stating that the first time his name will appear on the ballot is Super Tuesday?
Correct. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Which is less than a month away.
That's 14 states.
Yeah. 14 states, but it's not South Carolina. So
South Carolina is first.
Nevada, South Carolina, and then Super Tuesday.
Right. Yeah, to Rosemary or Libby's point here. We do know that he's been put onto the debate stage, right? The Democratic National mm-hmm. Committee has said, okay, you get to go even though you don't meet certain requirements here. As soon as I saw that, I'm putting myself into Bloomberg's place and I'm saying, hey, based on how well he's doing right now, I'm not so sure he should be on that, that he would want to be on that stage competing with these people.
Yeah.
I think he will benefit being on the debate stage with less people. I think after New Hampshire, right. you could potentially see Andrew Yang drop out. You could see Amy Klobuchar drop out. You could see Elizabeth Warren drop out. And if it's him on stage with two or three other people, I think that would benefit him a lot more than him being one of 11 or 12.
So let me ask you this. Yang, and they just did something on the BBC early in the morning yesterday, the Yang Gang and all that. Yeah. Yang is obviously not going to be the candidate. He knows that. So he's there for a certain amount of attention, don't you think, and saying, you know, who this guy is. So I'm assuming that he has no great incentive to drop out.
Well, and he has money, too.
Well, he did say in an interview over the weekend that the outcome it's facing him. The outcome in New Hampshire will determine mm-hmm. whether he continues. So he has signaled that unless he does better than most people expect, you might see him drop out.
And the way that most of these candidates run their campaigns is they front load. They have a big operation in Iowa. They have a big operation in New Hampshire. And then they have something smaller in South Carolina in case they get propelled. So I think Elizabeth Warren, I think you're likely to see, if she places poorly, I think you're likely to see her drop out. It's another 19 days before it's South Carolina. Does she really want to go to South Carolina and campaign for 19 days if she comes in fourth or fifth place in New Hampshire after coming in, you know, third place in Iowa? Does Andrew Yang want to do that? I think he's likely to drop out. I think Klobuchar is likely to drop out. The one who is a definite loser who will stay until South Carolina is Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, and then you look at Bloomberg, who has not put a nickel into Iowa, New Hampshire, right. Nevada, et cetera. He's got 2,000 paid staff around the rest of the country in those 14 states that go the first week in March. It's, you know, you can talk about buying the election, but he's been pretty straight about taking the system that exists and uses it to his advantage. And that's strategy. I sort of respect
it. Look, Trump did the same thing.
There's a difference between Trump and...
Yes,
there's
a world of difference, but in terms
man.
Of...
Bloomberg is
yes,
not.
Yes, yes, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that Trump is a good man. You know that. But it's about using the system.
Well, no, not exactly. What happened with Trump was he was such an aberration from the norm that CNN, for example, covered all his speeches. The media went after him. He didn't spend a lot of money out of his own pocket. He got other people to pitch it in. What Bloomberg is doing, at least he's doing it openly. I mean, he's not hiding the fact that he's spending, what, $300 million on advertising?
And so far it is in Russian. He has had no help from Russia. Another small difference.
The one thing you can say about Bloomberg is, in one sense, he's incorruptible because he doesn't have to cater to anybody.
A point he makes when he says, I'm not taking money from anybody.
Right. Well, and I think, JP, you made this point last week, and it has stuck with me, which is that this is probably the most vetted candidate. I mean, this guy has been around. He's run three times in New York. If there's anything to come out, we probably would have heard it.
Well, they'll find something. I mean, there was a piece in the paper this weekend about his daughter's second marriage.
Yeah, big
as
deal.
If it was a big deal.
Yeah,
right.
The most interesting thing to me recently have been numbers showing that Biden is losing tremendous support, like 9 points, and it's coming from a minority, mostly black voters, and a lot of it is going to Bloomberg. So Stop and Frisk may not be the killer that we thought it could be.
The one thing about Stop and Frisk, which is a terrible blemish on Bloomberg's record, he has stepped forward. You know, you may say it was just for political reasons, but he has stepped forward and said, I was wrong. I apologize. He has shown empathy and asked for forgiveness. That's something you will never, ever see from Donald Trump.
And that's a very powerful thing to do, to ask for forgiveness, because then the onus is on the other person.
It's a technique. I remember when Hugh Carey, I'm so old, I remember when Hugh Carey was really down in the polls and he wanted to run again. And he got up there and he apologized and it turned things around for him.
Yeah. It makes a big difference. It makes them human. Everyone has to apologize for something in their lives. And when you see somebody like a Mike Bloomberg or a Hugh Carey or any of these other guys apologize like that, it brings them down to a human level that people don't necessarily think about, that's what a politician is. So it's a very powerful thing.
Well, he's also apologizing for something that led to New York City having the lowest crime rate of all the all the major cities. So New York City has 300 murders. Yeah. Chicago has 1,200 murders in a city that's half the size. So he's apologizing for something that happened to, may have been poor policy, but the results were tremendous for minority families in New York City.
I would say that's true.
No, it's not.
Glad you're not running
for minority families in New York City.
Well, let me just add to it.
Because they're the ones who were targeted.
Let me just add to what JP said. I get it. And I think, you know, the black community is really insulted by Stop and Frisk as a concept. However, your point is well taken. Crime did go down.
Mm-hmm.
Most crime in New York City, not all, but most, is black-on-black crime. So there were some, I mean, that is the argument that many people are making. Now, if I'm him, I say this thing is going to devour me. This stop and frisk thing is going to devour me, and I'm going to apologize. I think
the thing about stop and frisk, though, was that he's a numbers guy, and the numbers were clear. That the problem with it was that they were stopping, police were stopping black people at astronomical rates,
right.
Higher
exactly
than white,
right.
Yeah,
and
right.
It was not leading to crime. Now that is fixable. And had he been on top of it, had he said this is not acceptable, you'd have more training. You'd have police training on how you stop somebody and what for, what are the reasons. So that number went down. He never did that, and that's the mistake he needs to apologize for.
You got a good point there, Rosemary.
So basically what we've learned over our last 15 minutes of conversation is that whatever happens tonight in New Hampshire doesn't really matter.
Correct.
I think...
It all...
No, you worked this out with Rosemary, Mike.
What's happening, and New Hampshire will clarify this, is you're going to see a battle for the moderates and the progressives. We were talking about just that. Now, who will lead each one? And it looks like the two guys from New York whose names begin with B.
Yeah, and there's no question that Bernie's going to win this.
I think that this election season has put to the forefront how irrelevant and, frankly, stupid the Democrats have been to put all of their eggs in the early basket of Iowa and New Hampshire. They're unrepresentative states. They're difficult to go campaign in because they're remote and hard to get to. Why are we there?
Okay, how would you change it? In other words, I know what you would, if you were emperor, what you would say.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that. However, these states, as I have often said, they are so delighted to have this kind of publicity that if they had to move their primary up to the day after the last election, they would do it.
Well, you know, the thing is that it brings in a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Into those states.
Billions.
Iowa and New Hampshire. And New Hampshire could use it.
We got about a minute, but don't you think what we see, what happens with Bloomberg will tell us?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, we don't have to do it. If I were emperor, I don't have to do a thing. Bloomberg is showing skip those states.
Right. Emperor Bloomberg.
Exactly.
Bloomberg
is showing what?
Thing.
I'm sorry.
He's not shoving all of his money in those two states.
He's ignoring them.
He's ignoring them.
Listen,
which
Bloomberg,
they deserve to be in a national campaign. They're insignificant in a national campaign. New Hampshire could very well go to Trump. That's why he's there last night.
Well, he didn't get it last time.
Came close, though, Alan.
Yeah, he did.
We will see. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We have a lot to talk about. We'll have letters. We welcome yours. You know, the short ones. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org.
Who's short?
The letters, Alan. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, and these two people right here. Nice. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. I didn't get everybody in before we left off for the break. So Libby Post is here, J.P. Miller, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain, and Alan Chartok. We welcome your letters. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. The things that have come out of the last 12 hours, Alan mentioned this earlier, but certainly Bernie Sanders does seem to be the front runner. Pete Buttigieg, who had really good numbers coming out of Iowa, has seen those go down a little bit. And we also have heard Amy Klobuchar said that she is, quote unquote, surging, for whatever that means, within the state of New Hampshire. But we don't know.
Well, she's made a lot of money since the debate. A couple of million dollars.
$3 million in a weekend, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the measure, because people from all over the country will watch the debate and pitch in. But to me, the thing to watch is the turnout. If the turnout was terrible, I mean, it was flat in Iowa. And if it's that way in New Hampshire, if we're not getting new voters to the polls, the democracy loses.
You make a great point, because yesterday Sanders had a rally and he put on popular musician and a whole bunch of kids showed up. And they all were very much for Sanders. The issue, of course, is will kids vote? Now, every time I'm on with other college professors, because, you know, it's been a while since I've been in a classroom, but other college professors, they tell me, oh, no, their kids are really going to vote this time. But, of course, we have heard that forever and ever and ever. And Rosemary is making the appropriate face, which is, forget about it, Jack.
I think Vera often makes that point.
Vera is very optimistic.
Which did her students tell her that they're really going to do
she
it.
She has stellar students.
Yeah.
And but, I heard a statistic that there's 4 million new, just turned 18, Latino voters in the country, many in California. So, I mean, and people are predicting they're going to turn out. We'll see.
If we don't, could only make a movement of the Latino voters to, you know, Michigan or Pennsylvania.
Right. Or Wisconsin. Florida. It's a little more difficult there, though.
Panel at WAMC.org for your letters. Alan has a pile here, so we'll start those.
Okay, so David, I've been getting a slew of these anti-Bloomberg letters, and here's one. Bloomberg has stated he would cut Social Security and Medicare.
Who has said that? Bloomberg?
I'm not unaware of that. Trump has said that.
Trump is the one who's doing that.
Now, I don't know who's sending these out. Does it have a Russian name on it? No. and then John says Bloomberg. Bloomberg had nothing to do with Citizens United. He is not accepting donations.
That's right. You can pay your own money. But he's battling Citizen United, right, which funds other campaigns with millions and millions of dollars because there's
correct
no limit now.
Yeah. He has used Citizens United, which is a boon to corporate political donations, with the twist that he doesn't need a corporation. He's got himself. Well, built on his company, but
Bob writes a good letter.
Quibble down.
Bob writes a good letter.
All right.
Let's remember that Tom Steyer's main issue was impeachment, and look where that went.
Yeah.
Bloomberg has a broad vision and a deep resume. Between the two of them, there's no contest. Yeah. I had a friend, she wanted me to write her a letter of recommendation. And she said, will you give me a recommend? That's what she said. I know, you're all looking at each other saying, what did you mention that for?
Why did
well,
you?
Now that you mentioned it.
I have no idea.
Okay. All right.
I have no idea, except he has a deep resume.
Oh.
And when I first looked at the word, I thought I saw resume.
Resume. I got you.
Oh, resume. So,
never mind. Yeah. I was going to ask if she got the job, but we don't know.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Steyer is it's one thing to say. Now, remember, everybody was pushing for this impeachment. The speaker didn't want to do it. We heard that again and again. Everybody got it, and now he's impeached, and now his numbers are going up. Is it outrageous for me to say maybe she knew what she was talking about?
Who?
The
Nancy?
Speaker, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely she knew what she was talking about. I mean, what we'll be able to do is hang this impeachment around Trump's neck forever now. I mean, he's one of three presidents. Yes, he got acquitted, but I think they knew that was going to happen. It's about the sound bites. It's about the milieu. It's about being able to hang this around his neck and using it in the election.
Do you really think that that's what it's about? Because I think
what else
the Democrats were so frustrated. I know I was, and I'm not even a Democrat. I'm just unenrolled. But the Democrats were so frustrated. They just wanted the guy's head on a pike.
They did.
And they didn't think about the long-term implications.
Well, it was before the Ukraine phone call, which when she was really saying, let's wait. And then when that happened, it's kind of hard to say.
Well, she couldn't hold back. The problem was she couldn't hold back the waters.
Right, exactly.
She could not.
I agree. I think she was he forced her to do it by doing this thing, which half the country believes is an impeachable offense and that he should be thrown out of office for it. Right. So they were really forced to do it. Whether it was a good political decision, you know, it's really irrelevant. I do think that, you know, the week that he gets acquitted by the Senate, he's at 49% approval, his all-time highest approval in Gallup. That's a tough pill to swallow for the Democrats, but I do think they were forced to do it by his actions.
But John Paul, don't you think, it's JP, it's John Paul. I just thought I'd be clever.
That's very French of
you. But don't you think there was really no choice here?
No choice. Yeah. They had to do it. Mm-hmm. They had to do it.
And you have to at least hope that having done it, Trump will be a little less emboldened to break the law anytime soon.
Oh, my God. You sound like Susan Collins.
I mean, you hope. Well, unlike Susan Collins, I would have voted for a conviction.
Well, except Mike. His numbers just went up.
Yeah. I know. No, you just have to hope.
What's the lesson here?
All I can say is you have to hope that he doesn't turn around and do what he did the day after Mueller flubbed his testimony before the Congress and called the president of Ukraine and tried to broker an outrageous illegal deal.
I am going to guarantee you he does something else asinine.
Well, he already did.
He's done it. Yeah, I agree with you. Barr. He's got Barr now listening to Giuliani.
That's right.
But who's Vindman losing his job? At the White House,
Think were expected. And
wait, there's
a
knock on the door.
Not the outrage,
but still, it was illegal. What he did.
Why is it? What law did he break?
Because those positions are not supposed to be fired from like that.
What law? No law, Libby.
It's policy.
No. And policy is different than law. Tradition.
People that I've heard talking about this have saying that he broke the law.
Well, the question is...
They also said Nancy Pelosi broke the law by ripping up his
speech.
Yeah,
well, that's...
And it's
that's
baloney.
No, but was there bribery involved here? In other words, was this bribery? Now, bribery is against the law. And, you know, there is a... The problem here is that we have a man who thinks he's king, and there is no... there is nothing to stop him from doing anything. Mm-hmm. And he owns the Justice Department. He owns Barr.
To be clear, I was not talking about whether Trump committed a crime. I believe he strongly did. I'm talking about whether the crime was in firing Vindman and Sondland.
Oh, okay.
He broke no law then, and that's clear.
That's not a crime, but... But it's wrong.
It's wrong.
I mean, or as Jonas, my son, always used to say to me when he was 12, that ain't right. It ain't right that he went after his twin brother who had done nothing. That was crazy. Not nice. That ain't right.
Back to letters.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Hunter says, no billionaires for president. If the Dem nominee is another out-of-touch billionaire, and billionaires are by definition out of touch, then Trump will win in 2020. The only way for Dems to win is to elect somebody who has outside clout and a proven record of winning over independents and dissatisfied. There is only one such candidate running for the Democratic nomination at this time. Congrats on a record fund drive. Well, I take it you're talking about Sanders, and I'm getting long, long, long letters about Sanders from people who just are so committed, and some of them are saying, hey, I'm not going to vote for anybody if I can't.
Well, what you have to remember about Bernie is he's going to get, once Warren drops out, and she's going to drop out soon, she's going to lose her money, he's going to have close to 50% of the Democratic Party voting for him, okay, once Warren drops out. How quickly...
Maybe.
No, it's going to be 40.
Well, he had 50% versus Hillary, right? I mean, if it was a fair fight between he and Hillary, it would have won, right? So he's got 50%.
Jeez.
No, am I wrong?
If it were a fair fight, so you're buying into Bernie
not
was robbed or was rigged?
No. We've had this discussion,
no,
but I think he's close to 50%.
I have another theory on JP here.
Okay.
JP was, of course, I hate to get into motives, of course, the finance director of Romney in New York State. Is that what
it
was? Yes. Yeah. So.
So what are my motives saying he has 50%?
Well, I'm
Bernie
about to
has 50%.
Tell you. Okay. So there may be a bit of creeping Republicanism here, and we know what this governor.
The Republicans are rooting for Bernie.
And wait, yes, they are.
Yes.
You bet they
Absolutely
are.
Absolutely, they are.
Oh, they're chomping at their bits to go after that commie.
Okay,
but they're already calling.
Okay,
him that.
So do you think that he'll get close to 50%, or he won't get it once Elizabeth Warren drops out? Do you think her votes will go?
Oh
to
no,
other
no.
People?
I think the Democrats may make a big mistake. And this is coming from a guy who voted for Sanders against Hillary. You have to have somebody who will get the larger part of the American population.
That's right.
I think Bloomberg is that guy. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking. I thought in the beginning was Biden, and it turns out Biden just didn't deliver. It's that simple. So he's been winnowed out. But I do think the Republicans would love to see Bernie.
Bernie would be easier for the Republicans to beat than Bloomberg, 100%. But I do think that it is going to be a close race between Bernie and Bloomberg. I don't think Bernie's going to drop out. He's going to go all the way to the convention.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that all of a sudden Bloomberg's going to get 60%. I think it'll be close to 50-50 between Bernie and Bloomberg once it gets down to those two.
Well, all I got to say about Bloomberg is I think whatever the strategy is, and I'm not sitting in that room, boy, he's playing it well
it's
right
working.
Now. It's working.
And also hard to believe. Remember, Bernie took him a while to endorse Hillary. How quickly is Bernie going to tell all his voters, let's all get behind billionaire Bloomberg?
He isn't.
Now, how old is
he
Bernie? Isn't. Bernie's my age, 78?
Hillary already called him on that.
How old is Bernie, 78? Yeah. And there's a real question as to whether he could do it another time. He would not do it another time. So, you know, he may have been looking forward to this incarnation. When he pulled that stunt with Hillary, you know, not calling his people out before. He's got to worry about how he goes down in history, I think.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Alan, you have some letters for us. Let's
I
go
do.
There
Here's
first.
A lovely letter from Bob.
Oh, we love lovely letters.
Who says, Mike Bloomberg's radio commercial. I listened to Alan's Mike Bloomberg's radio commercial at 7:45 this morning. And asked myself, am I missing something? I decided, no. Folks in Peoria are going to turn off Bloomberg's endless stream commercials. They will go with someone other than an old billionaire from New York City this time around. As I said, a lovely letter. Thank you very much for that. And then we heard
can
from...
Can I ask?
Yeah, of course you can. I can tell it's... Go ahead and do it. I want you to do it.
Okay.
I want you to go with your gut.
All right. Because with both you and Libby here, I want to ask the question.
Yes.
Is that letter anti-Semitic?
Can I see the letter?
No, you heard it. I don't think it's anti-Semitic. I think it's probably Bernieistic. And Bernie, you may remember, is Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
But he's just a millionaire, not a billionaire.
He's
not from New York. There's New York bias, Peoria, New York.
Well, he's from Bloomberg. Bernie's from Brooklyn.
That's true. He's born from there. That's true. Yeah, he sure does.
Bernie is more.
That is not a Brooklyn accent, Mike.
He speaks with a Brooklyn accent.
That is not his accent.
And like this. Yeah. I don't see this as overtly anti-Semitic. I think the whole Peoria thing, or the fixed, you know, he's saying...
A billionaire from New York City, though.
Yeah, endless...
Alan King once told me, whenever they tell you they're from New York City, that's what they're trying to tell you.
Well, it's true. It's very, very true.
Well, wasn't it Jesse Jackson in Hymietown?
Yes. So, you know, but...
I thought of that when the letter was read, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I try not to jump.
Yeah.
Okay, next.
And Justin says Sanders. I'm happy the panel is now accepting of Sanders. He's a good guy and wants good things for society. His history and actions show that. He is not a socialist. Now, this is interesting. He is not a socialist. I'm going to come back to that.
I'm just trying to figure out who's accepting.
I just think he's misread the panel.
And the socialist part.
He is not a socialist. I wish people would stop saying that. It's just not true. Can't we wait till we can talk about local news again one day? Well, yes, of course, Justin. However, as I have pointed out to people who have written what you said, that he is not a socialist, he is a socialist. And how do we know it? He says so. He will not take the Democratic nomination. He identifies himself as a Democratic socialist. He does not say he's a Democrat in any way. He won't take the Democratic nomination. Right? Am I wrong?
Who?
He'll take the nomination.
He won't register as a congressional seat.
Yeah, he won't register as a Democrat.
Yeah,
which
he won't.
I'm like.
So here is the sentence: He is not a socialist. Excuse me, Justin. He is a socialist. How do we know? Because he says so. Oh well, maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about either. Well, he says he's a socialist. Got it?
Doesn't he say he's a Democratic socialist?
Well, he does. He clarifies
which
that.
DSA.
But he does admit to having. Beliefs that are socialist. But so, you know,
so
Medicare.
It's not the worst
Medicare
thing in the world.
Medicare is socialist. Social Security is socialist.
Right. None of this matters. That just
the library.
Taking that designation as socialist opens them up to the
commies.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, Trump's people.
That's the killer.
Yeah, Trump's people will just rip him apart as a commie pinko.
Yeah.
Not
absolutely.
A fag, but a commie pinko.
Trump people will take his words and will show him saying it. That's what they will do.
Well, and they're already doing it, right?
Okay, so anyway,
well,
thank
Trump's
you.
Trump's already doing it.
Thank you for that letter, Justin. Appreciate it.
I'm sorry, did Sanders really get married in Russia?
What?
That was the president said that during the Super Bowl interview.
Oh, but he really? Says everything. Hold on. I will be checking.
Who said that?
Where was the Sanders, president said it during the
Sanders
Super Bowl
married?
Interview.
Google.
Google. Okay. And so Karen writes, doom it may concern. That's a good start.
Okay.
I listened to your show yesterday while I was in the car driving to New Hampshire to canvass for Mayor Pete. Regarding your section on the Democratic nominee, you discussed almost all the candidates, their challenges and possibilities, yet ignored the presumptive winner of the Iowa caucus, the formerly unknown gay man who exceeded expectations. You erased the historical nature of his campaign and his victory. As a mother of a gay millennial, I was disgusted and furious. You disgraced yourselves. And disgraced yourselves. Woo. Wow. And IMHO...
Only, in my humble opinion.
In my, oh, I see.
No, abbreviation.
Ever.
Sorry. Go ahead.
If it was a failure of journalism, and that's Karen from Stockbridge, Massachusetts.
I'm not seeing anything about Russia, by the way. He lived for a while at a kibbutz in Israel, then came back to Vermont, got into politics, and that's where he met Jane.
I think that if Mayor Pete somehow beats Bernie tonight, I think you're going to see a big splash for him. He'll raise a lot of money, and he will continue on to the other states. The tough thing, though, is that despite his great media presence over the last week and his great showing in Iowa, you look at the national polls, he is at half of Bloomberg's in the national polls. There's a national poll came out today showing Bloomberg at 15, Mayor Pete at 7. So Mayor Pete, I think, still needs to prove something with a win tonight. If he can beat Bernie tonight, it's a big night for him, and I think he'll put himself in the top tier.
We have he had a 10-day honeymoon, apparently, in Russia after marrying Jane, I believe is his second
wife. In Burlington, his second wife.
Right.
Duh. Yeah.
But they took a honeymoon in Russia?
Right.
Yeah, I remember.
That proves it. He's a commie. Yeah.
Are there nice beaches?
All I'm saying,
yeah.
I'm not.
Wow.
By the way,
I know, but that's what
the only reason I bring this up is because that is what the president is saying.
Yeah, and he does
and
have.
This is a president who is
who will say anything.
No, who is so adoring
in
of
bed.
Putin
yes.
of all mm-hmm. things. So he's with Putin. I love Putin. I love the Russians. And by the way, Bernie was married
in the Soviet Union.
Yes.
I wonder where Trump honeymooned. That'd be interesting.
Oh, which time?
Yeah.
They would all be interesting.
Do you remember when Bill Clinton was running in the 90s? There was some backlash that he, when he was a Rhodes Scholar, he went to communist Russia, mm-hmm. and that somehow tainted him. I mean, people will use this red baiting as much as they need to discredit somebody.
So here's a good letter from Rosemary.
Oh, not me.
And the subject, no, that's right. The subject is Rosemarian. As a fellow Rosemary, I appreciate Alan inventing the term Rosemarian. Okay, and then Russ says, muckraking, dear panel, the results in New Hampshire will build on the incoherence of the Iowa caucus. Oh, and I want to, excuse me, may I just have one thing to say here? We were all saying Mayor Pete won over there. Well, he may have won one or two more delegates, but he didn't win in the popular vote. Bernie won the popular vote.
I thought
and
that
so
the,
Hillary.
The final numbers were yet to come in, and that is up for debate.
No,
and
both campaigns have now called for a recanvassing of certain districts to try to get that out. They just not
big,
that it matters,
big
but
deal.
Here's the quote from the president in the this is during the Super Bowl interview with Sean Hannity. He said, "I think he's a communist," meaning Sanders. "I mean, you know, look, I think of communism when I think of Bernie. Now, you could say socialist, but didn't he get married in Moscow? I think of Bernie sort of as a socialist, but far beyond a socialist. At least he's true to what he believes."
On May 3rd, 2019, the Washington Post ran a long story about inside Bernie Sanders' 1988 10-day honeymoon in the Soviet Union. And it does talk about what exactly went on and how it was being used against him.
Well, remember, when we're trying to make this distinction, we're trying to make this distinction between the Soviet Union and contemporary Russia. Colonel Putin, then in charge of the
KGB,
at the time, is now in charge of Democratic Russia. Come on. Russ says, muckraking, dear panel, the results in New Hampshire will build on the incoherence of the Iowa caucus. These are demographic pockets. It says, these are demographic pockets in largely Republican states. Things will start to clear up March 3rd when the party's rank and file get a voice. At that point, the more domineering voices will stake out their territories because no one wants to vote for a lightweight. And that's Russ from Anans.
All right.
From Joan on Twitter. Why no love for Amy Klobuchar this morning? She's amazing, articulate, and smart.
We enough can't with love rich, everybody.
Enough with rich guys and agendas. Thank you from
Joan.
Well,
you know, I feel the same way about Cory Booker, who I love his policy. I think he's immensely impressive, and he just never caught on. I feel that way about Amy Klobuchar. Definitely feel that way about Elizabeth Warren. They're just not making it. And that means we got to find the candidate that will beat Trump.
And it's the bad process of putting so much, you know, into Iowa and New Hampshire and having such a disproportionate influence on who ends up running
exactly.
and winning the presidency.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Klobuchar, by doing so well, I think has really elevated her stature as a United States senator and elevated mm-hmm. her stature naturally and that nationally. And that doesn't always happen when you run for president.
And
a lot of times you run
vice.
For president
right.
and you lower your stature.
Yeah, right. I agree with you guys who are seeing her as a potential vice president, yeah. especially for Bloomberg.
Yes,
should
he I think that would be an incredible ticket, Bloomberg Klobuchar.
Yeah.
It would be great, but in a way, I really hate it because she's a hell of a senator, and we need to keep that Senate Democratic.
Yeah, but she wasn't from a swing state. She's strong.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
So, all right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. Much more to talk about. Panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, J.P. Miller, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. Alan has some letters. We'll do those, and then we'll move on to some other topics.
Okay, Chief. Don't call me Chief. Kayla will vote for the Democratic nominee regardless of who it is. Dear panel, right now I think that the candidates have strengths and weaknesses, and no one has, quote, won my vote. I will vote for whomever wins the Democratic nomination. I think many others feel the same way. Therefore, I am not making contributions to individuals now. Will give as much as I can once the nominee is decided. What effect do you think this mindset has on the primaries? And that's Kayla from Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, and the Adirondacks. What do you think, gang? You know, it isn't the Democrats who won't vote for the will vote for the Democrats, except maybe the Bernie people, because last time they didn't, or not everybody did.
It's the independents. It's the swing.
It's the purples.
Yeah, it's the swing.
And the nice thing about Bloomberg is he will attract Republicans.
Yeah, he suburban Republicans.
He will attract Republicans
and independents.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
We can't forget he ran as an independent.
And if you run the wrong person, I mean, I'm responding to the letter, if you don't choose the right person, Democrats are doomed.
Well, JP, let me ask you, though. He'll attract a lot of Republicans, a lot of moderates, a lot of independents. But will he turn off enough Democrats that it'll erase that?
That's always the game. That's the question is, do you get someone that's going to turn out the base or someone that's going to appeal to the middle? And Obama was great at turning out the base and appealing to the middle.
And Obama's got to get out there for whoever it is, the nominee is.
I can't believe he won't.
Oh, well, I think he will.
I mean, Bloomberg's running an ad. Have you seen the one where they have Obama praising Bloomberg?
Yeah.
It's on the front page of his website. Yeah, when the minute you go to Bloomberg's site, it shows.
I don't know who's running the Bloomberg campaign, but whoever it is, boy, are they good. Wow.
It's the best money can buy, Alice.
Yes.
Well, so that's okay.
As I say, you know, Steyer, who has a lot of money, isn't using it in the same way Bloomberg.
No, his message was all impeachment.
Yeah.
And the climate.
And the climate, but it wasn't, I mean, he never really caught fire. He didn't invoke any kind of sense of, oh, he can do this job. Yeah. I really felt that way.
And you know what? Catching fire is what it's all
about.
Right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it's also Tom Starr's. I think it's his first campaign. You know,
right,
Bloomberg has been able to weed through political consultants over the last 20 years to work and find out who's good, who's not good. So he has a trusted team. A guy named Kevin Sheekey, I think, is running the campaign, who's been with him for, you know, 15 years. And he's got a well-oiled machine that has been doing this, including winning 3 mayoral races in New York City.
And, you know, he's wanted this for a long time.
Yeah, sure.
He could have had the Democratic nomination for governor in New York State. He wasn't at all interested.
Does he have what Buttigieg had, who is also running essentially his first campaign and has caught fire? Does Bloomberg have that?
Libby?
Bloomberg have the fire?
The charisma. The sex
charisma?
Appeal of a...
well, I don't know. I think that's going
that's
a little
fraught
far.
With Pete Buttigieg, yeah. But...
right, right.
I heard he was gay.
You think? I think, you know, I think Bloomberg, as I said before, his messaging is strong enough to overcome the nebbish factor.
Yeah.
Okay? And his track record is strong enough. You know, moms demand action, climate change, all the things he's done, you know, it puts him out there as somebody who can get it done. He's smarter than Trump. Trump is scared witless to have to run against Bloomberg.
Absolutely right.
Well, how about the moms campaign, which is the anti-gun campaign, promoting gun control and restrictions? Is that going to help
I think it's going to help him.
I think it's going to help defeat him?
I mean, no, some help pockets are going to come out strong.
Well, but the national polling, Mike, is pretty clear on this. Yeah. Americans think the gun thing has gone too far.
But are those voters, I guess?
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's really... Gun owners are voters.
Yes, but you're also going to see suburban women come out. Because they want their kids to be able to go to school and not get shot. They also are disgusted by the images from the border where these kids are still in cages. And that will be used over and over again in commercials against Trump.
And
that will bring people out.
What you're getting at, Mike, is I agree with you, is that the gun owners vote on the gun issue. And the people that believe that guns aren't good... they don't necessarily vote on the issue. They vote on the economy and other issues. But if Bloomberg can make it a referendum on the gun issue, if that's what he's running his messages on, and that's what – it's like a 70-30 issue in the country.
It is. That's right.
Bloomberg's on the right side of. Right. So if the election is about guns and Bloomberg makes it about guns, that's a huge advantage for him.
Yeah, the one thing about Bloomberg, he is talking about not just trashing Trump. You know, and that's so easy to do. But if I think the candidates, Elizabeth Warren, too, you know, they have programs, they have ideas that they're promoting that aren't just trashing Trump. And I just don't want to replace Trump and I don't have a plan. I really think it's important to recognize that. And I think Bloomberg smartly does.
Back to the letters.
Good morning, panels, says a Bernieite, Jacob. Good morning, panel. It was so disheartening to tune in to hear my beloved panel fawning over the candidacy of Michael Bloomberg, a billionaire Republican currently in the process of buying the Democratic primary. Is this what democracy is supposed to look like? For shame. And then it's signed, Vote Bernie 2020. Well, here's the problem. If, in fact, I get it, Jacob. I understand what you're saying. But if there is a sense, and you only get one chance here, that Bernie is not going to win the election and Trump remains in the White House, is your commitment to Bernie, and you share it with a lot of other people, is your commitment to Bernie worth it if Trump stays in the White House
four more
years?
That's the issue. That's the kernel. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And we need to get this man out of the White House, or our democracy, as Rosemary is wont to say, will be doomed. I mean, he has whittled away at democratic principles. The GOP has become a cult, and we have to clean house.
Well, I've heard it argued that a certain percentage of the Bernie supporters are so far left that if he doesn't get it, or a candidate they like doesn't get it, they'll just won't show up because of lack of enthusiasm.
That is so
interesting. And they let the house burn down. Maybe you need four more years of Trump to really blow things away so that then from the ashes, the real...
I'm so old, you know, that I remember this from much earlier times when people felt, let the whole thing go.
Right.
Elect bad guys, and then the left will win.
Rise from the ashes.
Yeah. Susan Sarandon said it about Hillary in 2016.
Right.
I still have not forgiven her for that.
Susan
Sarandon. Yeah. Let Hillary win or let her lose or whatever. Either one, she equated the same, and things will be so bad, then we'll finally get the change we need.
And then that's predicated on armed struggle and taking it to the streets.
Which ain't going to happen.
Which ain't going to happen. I mean, it's just not. And so we need to use the processes that we have to our advantage. And if it means a Mike Bloomberg who can pay for his own campaign, self-fund, And some people will see it as buying it. But with the right messaging, he will not be a Donald Trump type president. He will not be a dictator. He understands policy. He understands that this isn't just about him. Why else would he do this?
You remember?
I mean, he doesn't need this.
You remember? Well, he does need it. He wants this.
Well,
does have ego. I mean, yes. none of these candidates lack an ego.
Oh, you have to have an ego.
But remember when he was mayor, he did some very interesting things in his style. One of the things he did is he didn't have an office. He had a bullpen, and he put, with all the people who worked for him, and he put his desk right in the middle of the room. And can you imagine Trump doing that? I mean, you know, forget about it.
When you get to be a billionaire, there are certain, you know, once you start have a certain amount of money, you can only buy so many things. You can buy a sports team. You can buy a plane. You can buy a yacht.
The
ultimate billionaire toy is the White House. That's as good as it gets.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Bloomberg needs it.
Libby would like
that's
to answer
great.
That.
Well, you know, yes, you're absolutely right. He can buy this. You know, and so...
But what are your values?
But what does he bring to the table? What is his record? What has he done? Am I like over the moon because he might be president? On one level, yes, because I want to get rid of Trump. On another level, you know, we have. I mean, he's not that great on transgender issues, so he needs to be
terrible
educated.
On press.
Right, he's terrible on the press,
on
freedom of the press.
Will cover the election, but not investigate.
So it's not.
We'll do lousy, shallow coverage.
Yeah. None of these candidates are going to be perfect.
Right.
But look at the alternative. Yeah. That's the issue here.
And that makes it easy.
Getting rid of Trump. It's the bottom line if we want our country to survive. Period. Oh.
Okay, so that was from Jacob the Burnieite. And Jason says, Biden, Bloomberg. If Iowa and New Hampshire are irrelevant and Bloomberg is smart to skip them, then what about Biden? What conclusion, if any, should be drawn from Biden's poor performance in these two states? I think a hell of a conclusion, which is he can't do it.
Yeah, he was so hurt by impeachment, far more than Trump was. Biden was hurt by the impeachment and continues to be. And they're going to hound him. He has, if we're worried about Bernie being attacked as a communist, Biden is going to be attacked should he be the candidate as corrupt.
And I have family in New Hampshire, and they said that over and over on the news over the last 24 hours has been the lying dog-faced pony soldier quote.
Yeah,
and it's over
that?
And over
what
and over
he
again. And he's
going to,
I think it's possible he comes in fifth place in New Hampshire.
And he's got to go.
It was a weird moment. I watched it.
And he said he was just kidding around.
Well, I mean, he...
It seems like...
The student, it was a young woman who was asking a question about why he didn't do better in Iowa.
Correct.
And then he asked something about, have you ever been to a caucus?
Have you ever been to the Iowa caucus?
And she said yes. And she said yes. And then he said something, and that was when he called her a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
It's a reference to like an old John Wayne movie that no one gets the reference unless they're 100 years old.
John Wayne, who's that?
And he made it. And then he just moved on. But I don't think he heard her exactly right. But whatever.
But this is the problem with Joe Biden now. He can't control it.
And he's not
unforced error.
Right, and he errors. And he's stepping on it all over the place, and he has to. I look like Alan. I wanted him at the beginning, but he's shown that he cannot do this.
You would just think that there's a chip in your head, in your politician head.
No kidding.
That
you don't call a young woman.
That you don't call a young woman a lying dog faced pony soldier.
Right.
That may be something. You know, we don't swear.
Just kidding.
Like, right.
That's hilarious.
I mean, you know, like, I can swear like a sailor, but I don't do it on the radio usually.
Right.
I don't, you know, you don't swear in church. But you don't call young women lying dog-faced pony soldiers. You don't do it.
You don't call a young woman a dog, period. That's Trump.
I don't know.
Well, maybe he's trying to get over the earlier criticism about how he touched up people too much. Now he's doing the opposite. He's calling them names. It's so bizarre.
Well, what happens is sometimes when you get angry, most of the times, I've learned this over the years, I hope, which is that when somebody really tries to get your goat, you put the letter in a drawer. You don't respond.
You don't.
You don't get crazy.
Right. You don't rise to the bait.
What
you
happened is he rose to the bait there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, in watching it, it didn't seem like there was really any bait. JP used the term of an unforced error.
He just took it as a bait.
Well, that's true. Absolutely. Yeah. You're right.
He shouldn't have.
You're absolutely right.
He has also had a couple tough days. I've watched a bunch of interviews, and the media just keeps asking him about Hunter and why he's not doing well and what the problem is. I mean, could you imagine doing interview after interview after interview of these reporters saying, you're not meeting expectations. What's wrong? Are you running out of money? Mm. I mean, it's over and over and over. It's got to be tough.
Yeah. And yet Trump still is treating him as the potential candidate, which is why they keep going after him and keep screaming about Hunter and that nonsense.
And Biden's been around. He knows he's not going to win. He knows this is over.
So?
And he's just excited to go home.
He may not know how to get out.
Should he have run in 2016? I mean, and what would the outcome have been if he was up against Hillary?
If Biden had run, I don't think Hillary would have gotten in.
Guess what? Shoulda, shmoulda.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I guess so.
That too, right?
Who'll get his votes?
That's a great question, Mike.
Who'll get his votes?
Klobuchar, Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Bloomberg, I think.
Yeah. Buttigieg will get some.
Yeah, Buttigieg.
Yeah.
The center Democrats will get their vote.
Alan.
Okay, and Beverly says, and this is to me, I think, please stop using the phrase black-on-black crime unless you use white-on-white crime or Irish-on-Irish crime. White people kill other white people, and we never hear that term used. Just look at the crimes on the ID channel. ID?
It's one of the cable.
Thank you, Beverly.
You know, Libby, I'm not sure that Trump still considers Biden a potential candidate. I think he says these things and puts out these tweets because
he can't help himself.
Well, maybe, but it's also an excuse because they're still going after him.
Yeah,
right.
And
that's
it justifies what he's got Barr doing right now. But I think clearly they see Bernie as a contender and Mike as a contender.
Yeah.
And he's
scared to death of Bloomberg.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I think so.
Anna says, elephant in the room. It seems unlikely in this climate of racism and anti-Semitism that the USA would elect a Jewish president. I know the same was said about Kennedy's Catholicism, but this is different. We're in such a sad time. Anna in Goshen.
That was a long time ago, and that was a pretty big deal that a Catholic would be elected president.
I remember it as it were yesterday.
Yeah.
I had a close relative who actually, not an actual relative, but with the name Aunt, you know, the way we call people Aunt, who said that he would be taking, John F. Kennedy would be taking orders from Rome.
Right, oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was the level of it at the time.
I mean, that's what they were saying in West Virginia. They were just like,
Well, there isn't a Jewish pope who can issue orders to Bloomberg or Bernie or whoever
there isn't a Jewish president.
Might be.
We don't work that way.
Well, there's also the diffuse. There's what the candidate and what the American people will think of and whatever bias they may have amongst the American people. But then there's also what Trump will do and how he will use it against the candidate of whatever it is, of whether it's Warren. I mean, we saw it in that. What does he have in Bloomberg so far? Well, that he's small.
Little Mike.
5'8".
Right. So then what?
Rockefeller is very short.
Yeah, I'm 5'8".
You're right. Then, after that, there's nothing.
Right. Yeah. And then what do you have?
Nothing.
You know, and do you go after, I mean, let's say if Mayor Pete is the candidate, does Trump go after him being gay?
Oh, yes. He's going to call him Puff to Pete.
Or he has his surrogates do it. He doesn't have to do it.
Well, I think he does the thing with the memes and he retweets stuff.
He's going after Bloomberg on the idea of buying the election. He's using the Democratic complaint against him against Bloomberg. You're seeing that in his tweets now.
People should just say, you can't afford to buy your election,
right,
Mr. President.
Right.
And if you can, let's see your tax returns.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alan.
Okay, here's another Alan remonstration. Alan, I enjoy your panel every day. Thank you. I am most disappointed, Howard, to hear you describe young voters as kids numerous times this morning. I assume you would apologize for the first time you said it. Instead, you repeated it multiple times. Perhaps if you and others describe young people as the force they can be, they will vote. Mary Jane from Boat Corner in New York.
I'm going to address my students that way. Force that can be.
Yeah.
Okay. And
has Mike Bloomberg released his tax returns?
Yes. Yes.
Including
I
for
think,
the time
they're
when
on
he was
the website.
New York City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What in the world is in that Trump tax return?
That he's not a billionaire. Yeah, that's one thing.
Right. Well, it could be. Or that he owes a great deal of money.
He does.
Or he owes nothing.
To Russia. to the Russian mob.
Well,
Bank.
It's not going
to
have a line on the taxes to whom you owe
your
money.
Yeah, I know, but he's
money.
In debt.
The
he's
oligarchs, you know.
He's made a living out of being in debt.
You know, real estate billionaires in New York City do not pay a lot of taxes. They take huge depreciation on their assets and... You know, Trump, I think, probably gives like next to zero to charity. So those are two things I think that look
enough.
Bad for him.
No, they
not
had
enough.
To close down Trump's charity because he was siphoning money.
And by the way, what
business.
Happened to that? Have we ever heard that he's not allowed to run a charity
he's
in
not.
New York State?
He's
oh,
not.
Yes. That came out. It was very firm that he had to agree.
Firm, and now it's forgotten.
Well,
because it's small potatoes compared to everything else.
Yeah. Well,
it matters to people like us, but the rest of the world.
Well, his political evil genius is that he takes something that is inconsequential and makes it into something.
Yeah.
Anyway, we heard from Lakia, who says, I am genuinely concerned about your assessment of Bloomberg as not corruptible. Money is not the only thing that corrupts. What about power? Also, black and brown people are still paying for Bloomberg's casual violation of their constitutional rights. And the correlation between the oppressive Bloomberg regime and crime has still not been proven. Crime is still down. The violation was against those that were stopped and frisked. It is a shame that you have to be white for the Constitution to have any power, Lakia.
No, that is the issue that will come back and come back and come back. But you could also argue that when he was mayor, the city was... and continues to be thriving, and that also reduces crime because people get jobs and economically they move up on the ladder. So, I mean, that will probably be argued also.
And Barbara writes, Mike Bloomberg, I like Mike. I'm an independent voter. His commercial really shines light on the Trump failure and lying, and that's from Barbara. Jonathan says, dear panel, if Trump gets reelected, do you think we can flip the Senate and hold on to our majority in the House? Thank you. Jonathan from Woodstock. You know, Jonathan, I think that is a key question. I don't know whether Trump will be reelected. Certainly, it is my hope he is not. Nevertheless, the Senate is really up for grabs.
Yep.
And I can't believe Susan Collins is going to win again.
Nope. Yeah, nope. And as we were talking last night, Lynn was like, you know, maybe taking the Senate's even more important so that if Trump does get reelected, there's a stop. And he
well,
won't
no,
be able to move forward.
I don't think so, Libby. And here's why: because I think this guy has decided that the Congress doesn't count.
Yeah.
That the first article to the Constitution means nothing. So if he's offensive to the House, he'll be offensive to the Senate also, and he will continue on his pro-dictatorial.
Yeah. And he'll use executive orders.
It isn't just Trump. The Senate has gone along with that.
Oh, I know. They're it's
abdicated.
A cult.
Well,
it's an absolute cult.
The big thing is if the Democratic Party takes the Senate, they will block Trump's judges.
That's right.
A big thing that they
do. That's really important.
That's right.
Because look.
It'll be
a federal judge said that Congress doesn't have standing in the emoluments case.
Well, they weren't Congress. They were individuals
in Congress. They were the minority Democrats,
I mean,
so they didn't constitute a majority vote. That's probably...
I mean, that's patently absurd. I
but
should
citizens,
have standing.
But they are citizens.
Yes,
right. That would be my
argument.
We
all should have standing.
Jonathan says, dear panel, oh, we did that. Thank you. And Chris says, Bloomberg is not a Democrat. He actively supported Pat Toomey in the 2018 Pennsylvania Senate election. If he wins, he will be partially responsible for having a Republican Senate, and he will be impotent. Only Bernie has the ability to mobilize voters to give us a real chance to win the Senate. Okay, Reddit.
Well, one argument could be that if Bloomberg funds his own campaign, should he get the nomination, it could free up money that could go to congressional campaigns, you know, Senate and House campaigns across the country, and that could achieve what you see as being so important.
And Anne writes, Bloomberg fan club. Hello, panel. I can't believe how you are twisting yourselves into pretzel knots to promote Bloomberg despite the fact that he's buying his way into the election, owns a major media company that has has badmouthed at least one other candidate, was never a Democrat until recently, has a terrible past record on policing. Because he's at least upfront and he's spending his money, that's at least he apologized and crime did go down. You will take anyone over the candidates who are challenging the system of rule by oligarchs. You are manufacturing consent for rule by oligarchs. Either you and the DNC will elect Trump, which is the same thing. Bloomberg, I'm sure I got that right.
Oh,
either that, please. Or you and the DNC will re-elect Trump, which is the same thing. Bloomberg is just more benign oligarch and in Connecticut.
I don't think that's a Bloomberg vote.
No, I don't either.
Did he say benign?
Hopefully,
is that what you read?
He said
benign oligarch.
Hopefully she'll just stay home.
He's benign.
All right, we have 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, Raymond says, stop and frisk. There's no iteration of stop and frisk that can be more equitable in a place like New York City. It will always be politically unfeasible to stop and frisk people of means and more politically feasible to stop people who are invincible, who are in tenements, who aren't part of the spending class of the elite. Stop and frisk will always discriminate on the basis of color.
All right, we are going to take a break. We will be back and wrap up. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. We will be right back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. On 2 hour program, we have about 15 minutes left. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. We'll go to some more letters. Quick note, we were just checking during the break. We had a letter about, I think it was actually a question that Rosemary asked as to whether Mike Bloomberg released his taxes. And both Mike and I said that he had, and I thought they were available on his website. They apparently have not been released yet. He had a press conference in late November, and on December said that they would be up within a matter of days. They would be made public, and they would be available on his website. Although, as of now, that has not happened yet.
That makes me a little leery. That would make a difference to me.
So
once he wins the nomination, he'll release him.
I think Trump said that, too.
Well, boy,
that was his point. I think
he'll pay big time. I mean, that'll cost all his credibility.
He has to release them.
So but. Kevin says Bloomberg inherited stop and frisk. Bloomberg inherited stop and frisk from the Giuliani Bratton regime. Yes, it was bad. It ended. Right now, he's the best qualified candidate for the presidency. He's pragmatic and sensible. He can manage and delegate. And he can shut Trump up, Kevin from Worthington.
He endorsed and he owned Stop and Frisk. Where it originated is really immaterial.
No, I don't think that's right.
Stop and Frisk still goes on today, you know. Yeah. Gotham, NYPD yes. reports first rise in Stop and Frisk since 2013. Yeah. They had, a 22% increase last year of Stop and Frisk, still in New York City, still happens.
Under the leftist de Blasio.
Yeah, right. And by the way, Giuliani was, Rosemary, for whatever it's worth, Giuliani was the, made his reputation as the anti-crime
guy. That's why he was elected.
Right. And Jeff says, apology does not merit redemption. Bloomberg apologizing is the right thing to do. However, how many 16 and 25-year-old minority kids, and he writes in capital letters, kids, I think that's the answer to the other letter, went to jail or lost their lives due to stop and frisk? How many lives is Bloomberg personally responsible for ruining? It was extremely racist policy and honestly unforgivable. Redemption is a long road.
It was extremely racist, but I don't think there was loss of life or even arrests that stuck. Most of the cases brought out by these, terrible misdirected stops were thrown out of court.
Well, just for the hell of it, Rosemary, you stop and frisk somebody and you find a little weed on them in the day.
That's where it comes into play.
That
yes,
was the problem.
Yes,
yeah.
That's the
right.
problem.
And you don't do that with a guy who's living on Park Avenue. Stop him
of course,
in Frisco.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah. Right. No, there's no question. But that, I mean, this letter writer is talking about loss of life right. and freedom.
But that's why with the legalization of marijuana in this state comes also
right.
a way to heal economically the
right.
communities that were ripped apart
yeah.
by stop and frisk and other kinds of. Programs is the best way to put it, against people of color who were carrying.
Let's talk. Let's read from Alan, who says multi-party system. We've heard from before, I believe, on this panel. It looks like a two-party system is obsolete. What would it take to move to a three or four equal-party system? Best, Alan.
Oh boy, that would.
Yeah,
be...
right after we get rid of the Electoral College, we'll take care of that. Yeah.
David said, "Well, you don't know. You could. People could start other." Other parties.
Sure.
That's up to them.
Right.
Nevertheless, if you want to win in this system, you win working with this group.
With
this
one or the other.
Yeah. David says, stop the punditry. The panel in the past said Deval Patrick would be a force when he entered and that Buttigieg should drop out because he didn't have a chance. I don't remember that, by the way.
Isn't that what we're here for?
I don't remember. And by the way,
yeah,
I don't
remember.
I do recall saying when Deval Patrick entered the race that he... He could be a very powerful candidate because of all his you know, accomplishments, et cetera. But
I never said that.
I was wrong. No, Rosemary argued with me.
Yeah, we're a group discussion here. Yeah, it isn't one opinion.
You said, what's he ever done? And you argued with me. And you.
So here's the point, David. Here's the point, David, and everybody else. Cut it out. There are many, many views around this table.
Right.
And they are expressed regularly and in contradistinction, my favorite word.
And vociferously.
Yes, to each other. Right.
And we change our views also.
Okay.
And we love each other at the same time.
I politely suggest a little less horse racing punditry and more covering policy positions. And then,
that's true. What policy should... I really still hate, I saw it last night in the rally, Trump was there and he talks nothing specific and vague and big issues. And we still have Democrats, you know... killing each other over like niceties of who's got the best Medicare for All program. It's just so self-defeating.
And people don't look. People will respond first on an emotional level. Then you give them a little logic, and then you go back to emotion. That's the way you craft a compelling campaign message.
And do you see that happening?
Well said, Libby.
Well,
you see
not
that
on not
Libby?
Not
should be your job or something.
Right, yeah. Right. Not on the Democratic side, but on the Republican side, it's all emotion all the time with a little bit of policy that makes them feel like they're going to be empowered and that white people will be the majority in this country because that's what it really is all about.
But it's also about who do you trust in the end? And if you trust the person who is going to surround themselves with smart people, that will that helps a lot.
Who do you
the best and the brightest.
Yeah. Okay. And Eric in Grand Isle says, why do you think, I guess Joe Biden, why do you think he seems to be struggling? I think we've talked about that. I don't think he's able to sell the potatoes, to be honest with you. And I don't think at the point at which he's on the, you know, he's under fire, he knows how to handle himself that well. I mean, I like the guy a lot.
He did at one point, but I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think when he was younger and, you know, more vibrant, yes, he could do this. I mean, he was great on the campaign trail as vice president. He was terrific. Mm-hmm. But I think he's had personal tragedy, and that does take the wind out of one's sails, even if you're trying to use that tragedy as the fuel, because that's what he's doing,
exactly.
Because Bo said, Dad, run for president. It's still hard. It's still losing a child is... got to be one of the most painful experiences anybody can go through.
That's true.
And this, they hit him at Hunter.
Right, and they're going
they
after the other one.
They found his weakest
right.
spot
that's his weak
and
spot.
Went right,
right
after it. And
absolutely.
That's,
yeah.
And they're still doing it.
Yeah, which, unnecessarily.
Okay, and John writes, Amy Klobuchar, I just tuned in and heard your praise of Amy Klobuchar. See, there you go again. Did everybody in this panel praise Amy Klobuchar? I don't think so.
I did.
Yeah, so... Yeah. I'm originally from Minnesota, and my parents still live there. Both are well into the 80s, and both are lifelong Republicans. They have decided to back Amy. I was flabbergasted, but they really like her and what she stands for. To me, that says a lot if lifelong Republicans will shift to her. Best, John from Amherst. I'd love to hear from Amherst.
They will.
Have I told you that?
That's very interesting. It shows what middle America is thinking about all this.
It shows you
well,
what
two people
exactly.
America.
Well, anecdotally, it shows what middle America is.
And Roger says, foolish comment. Having written a small book, 2020 Vision, Dumb Trump, I think I have a fair grasp of the issues and challenges facing Democrats this year. I was incensed this year, therefore, to hear Rosemary, I believe it was she, comment that Iowa and New Hampshire don't count. Having looked at the Electoral College, I calculate Trump at between 225 and 245 electoral votes now without giving him Iowa and New Hampshire. No, those states are not representative of the nation, but yes, they do count. Roger.
Roger, I think you made my point. Obviously, they count their states and they get two senators and, you know, people matter in them, but to make them the centerpiece, the start of the Democratic competition for the nomination is insane.
And the idea that we were talking about was that so much resources, so much goes from all of the candidates go into those two states at the beginning, so it's front-loaded. Right. And then, as JP said, you have all of the organization in those two states, and then it gets very... It gets very loose when you start getting into South Carolina.
Especially this year when it implodes. And what did Pete Buttigieg, who I guess is the winner, what did he get out of Iowa? What did that do for him?
He got a big media blitz for a week. And the tough thing is the Democrats are going to hold Iowa and New Hampshire next time because the Republicans are. They can't just write off those two states and say forget about them. They're going to have to do it next time. Iowa and New Hampshire are with us now and with us forever, I think.
Well, do we need one national primary day? In March or April or something?
Do we need a reform of the Electoral College?
Yes.
Do we need the end to gerrymandering? We need a lot of things. Mm-hmm. We ain't got them.
Oh, Super Tuesday is as close as you get to that, you know.
Yeah. Well, Luke says, Bernie and Warren. JP is making a flawed assumption, thinking all Warren supporters will flock to Sanders. A big part of her allure is her sheer managerial competence, sure, which isn't Bernie's selling point. Sure. I could see some Warren folks holding their nose and voting for somebody more technocratic, though Bloomberg has a lot to atone for.
Evidently.
And Greg says, Trump is not getting more popular. You are citing one outlier poll. Not really, folks, but
no,
okay.
It's no, not an outlier poll. No. All the polls are trending upward.
A recent Quinnipiac, oh, by the way, I have always thought it was pronounced Quinnipiac. I heard somebody
it's Quinnipiac.
On, what'd you say?
Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac, that's what I've always thought.
Yeah. What did you hear?
I had no idea, but I said, whoa, that's not the Quinnipiac I know. A recent Quinnipiac poll also showed that current Democratic candidates are leading Trump in a head-to-head matchup. You need to take the average of all the polls in capital letters. Please stop the fear-mongering. Greg and Newpoltz.
I saw that Quinnipiac poll, and it is true that he loses to all the Democratic candidates,
now,
including
Amy. Now.
But that's different than
right, that's
his
right,
popularity in office.
And his popularity goes up. You got to assume that
exactly,
that's going to have
an impact further
sure,
down the line. Sure.
Howard says, "IMHO."
In my humble opinion.
Stop that.
Stop it.
The dream ticket, in part, to bring out minority voters who may otherwise stay home due to being turned off by stop and frisk and progressives would be Bloomberg, Stacey Abrams.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I love that one.
That would be a good one. That would really be good.
Awesome. Awesome.
I've always thought of Abrams as vice president,
yeah, she's
regardless.
Good.
Yeah.
And I wonder if she's thinking about that.
I kind of think
so. She's been pretty
thing every day.
Do you? I. She's been rather consistent, and she's working on a
getting
really important
out,
issue of voter stopping voter suppression.
Right.
Well, she could do it. I mean, she is very important to be out there and doing that good work.
Yeah.
I think.
But you cynically think she's just sitting there waiting for
no,
them to come to her, huh?
No.
JP does. Look, he's shaking his head. Yes,
she's been the most talked about vice presidential candidate of anybody else, wouldn't you say?
No.
Well, and Klobuchar.
And
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bloomberg Harris. That would be two East Coast, West Coast.
I would pick Kamala Harris for two reasons. Although she is from California, that's the downside. But the good side is she is of color.
Uh-huh.
And she's a woman.
Right.
And if you saw her during the hearings, she was tough, really good. So you can imagine her on a debate stage with that mm-hmm, guy, you know.
With Pence. Oh, my God. That would just be.
Okay, I loved Elizabeth Warren's answer the other day. Who would be your Pence? A voter asked her. And she said, I already have a dog.
Yeah, but the question is, would Mike Pence go on the stage with a woman unless his wife was there? Because, you know, he can't be in a room alone with a woman because of his urges.
Mr. Vice President, she really needs to sit out in the audience with everybody else.
Right.
And then we heard from Jim in Delmar, Sanders. Please tell us the way to find information showing that Sanders supporters won't vote for anyone but him. I'm a Sanders supporter and was in 2016, but I voted for Clinton in the general with no qualms. Over the past 3 years, I've spoken to about 35 friends, that's nice, who supported Sanders. None of them failed to vote for Clinton in the general. I believe any Sanders supporter who says they won't vote for anyone else are people who normally wouldn't even come out to the polls. Jim in Delmar.
All right, Jim, we're going to give you the last word. We have to go, and
we do.
Alan, Mike, Rosemary, JP, Libby, thank you all.